Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable. We got quite the crew for you this month. So, of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. What's up, Jamie?
I'm good, sir. Everybody's here.
Everybody's here. We have a crew. So, run down the list really quick. We have our boy Cabbage. What's up, Cabbage?
Not much.
We also have Spider here. How you doing, Spider?
Excellent. Happy to be here.
We have Josh from Australia. It's been a little while, Josh. It's good to have you here.
Okay, it's great to be here.
We also have our boy Duff, who has been a while. And so welcome back, Duff.
Hey, aloha, guys. Great to be back. It's been a while.
It has. And then finally, we have our boy Chad. What's up, Chad?
Oh, wait, did you come at me last?
I did come at you last.
Just don't even come at
me. I detected a bit of ambivalence there, too.
Yeah. To be fair, I came at you last because you were the last person here, so I just went in order. So yeah. That feels like your own fault. So we were discussing before we started recording about a topic, and we still don't really know, but we're going to try a couple of things and see where we end up. And so first, I'll bring up Project Stream really quick, because that's what we were talking about last before we started recording. And so a few of us have had some experience with Project Stream.
I got that thick stream, Tom. I got that thick.
Chad, who is the oldest among us, by the way, has his own. Project Stream going on. Anyway, we'll discuss some of that. So I know Cabbage has had some experience with it. I'll come to you in just a second. But Duff, I know that you have tried and haven't been able to get in. And so I'd love to hear from you what your experience or lack thereof with Project Stream has been so far.
Yeah, man, I was really stoked to get an early access code and fired it up. I've got a great rig. I've got 500 megabyte fiber internet. So I was like, oh, I'm going to rock this. Plugged it in, put in the code, ran the little connection test, and nope, denied because of a latency issue, which I have no clue why I have a latency problem. But it could be because I live in a very remote location, actually the most remote island community in the world, I think. So that could be part of it. I haven't had a chance to sort of test that theory with anybody else in Hawaii yet. I'm looking around trying to find some friends that might have it. And I'm probably going to go over to my neighbor who has a different internet or a different ISP and see if that helps.
Gotcha. What was your latency at, and what was the requirement? I don't know what the requirement is for Project Stream off the top of my head.
So it requires a 40 millisecond latency, and mine was consistently, didn't matter what I did. I unplugged everything. I went hardwired straight to the modem, turned everything off. And the best I could do is like 46 milliseconds, and it was consistently 46 or 47.
That's a bummer. That's really close. It's not like you were way off. That's
super bummed.
That's right there.
I even called Google and talked to the Project Stream folks at the help desk, and they were very nice, but basically didn't tell me anything that I hadn't already tried. And they're like, yeah, we'll send it up to the higher level management or whatever, and we'll let you know. And I got a pretty lame response back. That was about it.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll say really quick, one day this week, our internet was down, which you really realize when you're trying to play a game through a streaming service when your internet doesn't work. And so just out of curiosity, I had my phone tethered to everything. And so I was using just the Wi-Fi off my phone. I tried to run it off my phone. It definitely did not like that. So I've seen the no-go message that pops up when you don't pass the test. So
I'm bummed because, you know, kind of listening to the general theory, everybody that I've heard like online and on different other podcasts and whatnot, it seems like everybody loves it. They're really stoked about it in general. It seems like it runs great, and it's something that I was hoping to try out.
Yeah. I've had a good experience with it. Transitioning over to Cabbage, I feel like Cabbage had maybe a slightly different, maybe a more mixed experience. So Cabbage, tell us about your experience with Project Stream.
Yeah. So
not that bad because it did launch, because it did let me run it. But and I don't have a fiber connection. I have like a 80 to 100, you know, on a good day, 80 to 100 down and all that. But that should be plenty. So it runs and there's not really any control. There isn't any input lag, but I thought the video looked terrible. Like it was so bad that like if I hooked up my, if I hooked up one of my consoles to my PC monitor, it would look better. And so of course you can say, well, you would expect that from streaming. But the only reason I even make that as a point is because, like Duff was saying, all I've been hearing is positive things. And one of the things I tend to hear is the video looks pretty good. And I just disagree. And I checked my connection at the time and it was like 80, 85 down every time I did a test. So who knows? Yeah. Who knows what's up with that? But as a first step, if you can get it working, you know, for people who have an insane connection that still doesn't work, obviously I couldn't tell you what's up with that. That's a hurdle they have to figure out. But if you can get it running, it's definitely a cool, like, I mean, we call it a first step, but technically we had On Live and all these other people before that were kind of ahead of their time. But now Google's doing it, and because it's Google, because it's this big company that can waste the money on this, even if they don't make any back for a while, you know, that's it's a bigger, it has more gravity to it, I guess you could say. So I think this is the future. I don't know if I like that it's going that way for multiple reasons. Some of them might be sort of niche and silly, that just because I'm a PC gamer, I like to have the box there that does everything locally, except for, you know, it's kind of a mixed thing, because it's like, if you've been playing online games for years, like a lot of people have here, you know, a lot of your game isn't happening locally anyway. And certain games that I love and spend a lot of time on, something like Overwatch that I've played a lot of, I mean, you can't play that game locally. There's just, it's an online game. So if your internet's down or their servers are down, you can't play the game. So we've already been living in that world for a while. I'm just kind of scared of the idea of, well, I can't even play my single player game if at some point it's like, okay, you have to play it through a Netflix-like setup where you just install the app and you just play it that way. It is where it's going, so it doesn't really matter what any of us think. It's going to go there. Like, right. It's, you know, it is. It makes sense, but there's going to be some hurdles to get over that are sketchy, because even, you know, somebody with a 600 down fiber connection is having issues. like, you need to get, and this is a problem that services have had for a long time. Random games will just have NAT issues. Oh, these two players don't have the same NAT. One's strict, one's moderate, and they don't play together. And it's like, if I have to deal with that when trying to play a single player game, I have no, if the point of it was just to play on by myself, that's not something I look forward to, but that's where it's going.
And see, that's why I think we're about to have like 5 years of hybrid, where it's like,
yeah,
okay, if you want the game for really, 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 really cheap and you have the ability to stream it, here it is. But if you want to have a more local type deal, and you need that to happen because you have sucky internet, then you're going to pay full price just like we always have.
Yeah, I think there's going to be that transition period. I'll mention, I'm that guy that has the 600 down fiber connection. So my experience is with playing Project Stream. Did somebody just get tased?
Still tase me, bro.
No, there's nobody black on this podcast.
Ooh, no, you just get shot.
Man, anyway, that took a dark turn.
It did.
Whoa.
Anyway.
Careful with the dark comments.
Mercy. All right. Anyway, so with the, look at being Tommy, the guy.
Look at Tommy get uncomfortable when you start talking about race.
You're telling me.
Check out my last podcast where I podcasted with a bunch of black guys. It got very N-word-ish, let's be honest.
You want to plug your podcast really quick while we're here, Jack, so people can go listen to that?
No, man, I'm good. we'll do it at the end of the show. At the end of the show, then Jamie can tell me all about how he doesn't listen to it.
Anyway, being the guy that has the 600 meg fiber connection, it's worked really pretty well. And to me, the biggest technological leap is the input lag, the fact that there's very little that just still blows my mind. But I do. I have video issues once in a while with it that it gets like I always notice it in the draw distance and then it gets blurry for just a moment. It doesn't last long for me. And it's not been a serious impediment to me playing the game. I'm thoroughly enjoying it and being able to play it for free is a big plus. And so
wait,
maybe
hold up. That's what it is right there. You're the cheapest man on the planet, and you're playing this card. You're playing this for free. I can deal with it.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
There's absolutely that component to it, but it is very minimal. And I say that having a fantastic internet connection. That's the caveat here is I realize most people don't have my internet connection, don't have access to this type of internet. If you do, it seems like the service works really well because it does work really well for me. But even hearing Cabbage, who has 80 to 100 meg, saying he has video issues, that's significant because that's still a darn good internet connection and better than a whole lot of people have, definitely better than what Jamie has. That's still a hurdle that they've got to figure out. And so I'm happy with it having my great internet, but once your internet goes down or if your ISP is behind having a bad day or whatever, you're kind of screwed. And until that side of it gets resolved, it's hard for me to see myself paying for it. But having this experience to play this game for free on this service that for the most part is working for me, like 95% of the time, I'm unaware that it's streaming, you know, it's just those little hitches here and there. And that's cool. You know, that's great. And if you give me a paid service, that's, you know, $20 a month, that gives me that level of quality. I would consider that. It doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me. And so I'm happy.
Yeah. It's to bring it to bump, to piggyback off what you were saying about, you know, if you're having issues, how do you think this is going to work? Because I'm thankful that my internet is working right now. It wasn't working well last night. And so you have days where everything's good. You have weeks where everything's good. And then you just have a night or two where it's just crap. And I think that happens to everybody. So if you're playing Call of Duty or any of those that kind of require that, how often do you think those guys hear, hey, my internet, like, I'm having trouble, and it just boils down to my internet sucks. How many of those days can you have with a service like this and still get by with it is my question for everybody.
Well, I would say you're going to have that problem no matter what if you're playing a game online. Like, if your internet sucks, it doesn't matter if it's running locally or streamed, if you're playing with or against other people.
Well, no, like, what I'm saying is how many, like, off days do you get before, as a service, before it becomes a problem? Because, like Cabbage said, his internet is good most of the time. He doesn't really have a problem. But you have days where it just blows. And I'm that way, and you just said you had a day that you were down. So my question is, how often can that happen and still not be a detriment to the service?
Well, I mean, the service and your internet are two separate things, because how often can it happen with Netflix or Hulu or whatever else, too? You know, like, those are all as dependent, though not as reliant on awesome internet as trying to stream games are. But it is a factor. This is a fact that almost everybody doesn't have the internet connection to support it at this point. But some people do, which when we were talking about on live, at that point, a very, very, very small percentage of people had the internet to support it. We're getting to where more do. It's going to be a transition. It's going to take years before we get there completely. But it's the way we're going. Like Cabbage said, for better or for worse, and I don't love it, and I think we'll always be, like, want to have hardware guys. But I think there's a lot of people that are younger than us that aren't going to care, just whatever way you can get your hands on games. A question I have that I've been thinking about with this, is what does the idea of streaming game services mean for game development in the future? Because to me, it seems like AAA titles make a lot less sense at that point. But then at the same time, I look at the original content that Hulu and Netflix and stuff is doing that also doesn't seem common sense wise to make sense to me, but yet they're doing it, and some of it's really, really high quality. And so I'm interested in anybody's take on what streaming services mean for the future of development.
Well, see, I don't understand how Netflix is actually making money on what they do. I found another series this week that I didn't know they did called Altered Carbon, which I haven't had a chance to watch it, but they've got one season out and they've got all this great content, and I'm trying to figure out exactly how they're paying for it, because they got subscribers, but they are spending billions on this content. Yeah. And where is that balancing point?
Yeah, I haven't a clue. Cabbage, did you have a thought on that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to bring up, is that my thing is, it has to be a transition kind of thing to go to the, now you stream your entire game as opposed to downloading, and especially if we're talking single player, you are playing that whole thing off your own system. If you're playing a multiplayer game, you're playing a certain percentage of it that you have locally. But you know, now, how do you convince enough people to do that? Are you really going to say, is it going to be a Netflix thing where you pay 10 to 15 a month for it? Well, then the individual developers are not going to get the money what they would normally get from a $60 sale. So it is worrying. It's like, how do you do that in a way to where the games we really want to play are still going to be around? And the develop, because we're already, this is a big story these last few weeks, it's Red Dead Redemption 2, and there's a lot of conflicting stuff about it, but we do know in general in the gaming industry there's a crunch period, and a lot of these developers have people working overtime, and that's kind of what it takes to make a lot of these games. But you know, that plays into the whole DLC thing. It's like, we have to start charging for extra things, because unfortunately just charging the flat $60 for a lot of these games doesn't quite cover the costs for a lot of these companies anymore. So how are we helping that whole situation by going to something where, to get enough people to do it, I really do think you're going to have to say, oh, it's a monthly fee. It's not going to be a thing where, oh, you buy the game but you don't really have it. Like, at least with Steam, you could argue, because technically the games can be removed from the store, and we've seen that stuff happen before, but not usually with huge titles. But it's still, hey, I get to download the game. You know, if we go completely away from that, yeah. Was that ever on Steam?
Well, 2 was.
Yeah, well, 1 and 2 are still on Steam.
Okay,
but there's been some games like, what was it? Fable and some other stuff. One of the Fable games, I think, was removed at some point. So, you know, technically you can lose that game even if you paid for it, but it's very rare. We haven't really seen it happen with a huge game that people really care about. So, but anyway, so yeah, that's the thing. It's like, how do you convince enough people to spend the same amount of money for a game that they can't really have at all, that they have to stream, that if their internet's down or the servers are down or they get a denial of service attack, which you know is going to happen because it happens to everything.
Yep.
It's very iffy. And it's like, I really think you're going to have to do a subscription model, but then how does that help the industry that already has all these developers with their employees feeling under siege to get these games done, and then feeling pressure to put in DLC to help cover the cost to keep the employees around to help with patches and help with all that after the game's done? It's, I don't know. That's the one of the biggest things I worry about with the whole streaming thing. Yeah.
Okay, so we all love games here, right? And I'll get right back to you, Chad. I just thought of something. We all love games here, right? But I want to hear from Duff, because Duff is the biggest hobbyist we have ever met. He has dumped more money into this show and more money into games than anybody I know. So, Duff, I'm asking you, what would you be willing to pay for something like this?
Well, if I can get on the service, I'd be willing to pay a subscription model, you know, as long as they can. I mean, this is hypothetical and definitely, like Tommy said, quite a few years in the future, I would think. But I mean, obviously the movie industry did it. The music industry did it. So it's gotta be possible. People are still making money. I just hate to see I hope that Steam doesn't, I think Steam could potentially turn their service into a streaming type service, but I would love to keep it, keep your library alive so that you could potentially download titles and make it more of a hybrid system. If you had, if you did have the money to have a decent rig at home, because it is pretty fun. That part of computer gaming to me is part of the fun, is building your rig and having a, really awesome video card and high-end graphics and all that stuff. So,
which, by the way, Duff, do you have a 20 series yet? Since you're here, I just got to ask.
Oh, geez, you're putting me on the spot, man. I will say that I saw that it just became available on the NVIDIA website, and yes, I did order one.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
One of us has got to do it,
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I'll mention just really quick, because now everybody's got kind of gear spinning in my head. Duff brought up the music industry in there, and streaming services obviously are a huge part of the music industry at this point, but they're a revenue drain on artists, and the way that artists make money is tours and merch and that kind of stuff. They're not making money off of what they release unless it's massive, and that's not very many people. And so music industry is a little different in that it's got this other revenue stream that I don't know how the gaming industry does that side of it. And so now I'm thinking it's not the technology that's the biggest barrier here, is the economy that's the biggest barrier of this becoming mainstream. And is it each publisher has their own streaming service, so you end up paying EA for their streaming service and you end up paying Activision and whatever, as opposed to like Google doing a collaborative with, or is it Google and Ubi team up going forward and all Ubi games also come out on Project Stream? I don't know. There's a lot of big questions on the mechanics of how the thing works. So really quickly, just to get you all into the conversation, Spider, any thoughts you have on this whole discussion? Anything you want to add?
I didn't even know what this was, so I'm glad you guys brought it up. So I just signed up for an account so that I can hopefully see if I can get in.
Yeah, so far, everybody I've heard that's signed up for an account got one. It's not like they're being super sneaky.
Oh, yeah, they want everybody. They want as much data, points as they can get. Like, they don't really care.
and Google, I already have a Gmail account, so they can already read my email. So they know what my internet speed is. So I should happily be able to get in with, with a gigabyte service. So,
yeah. Yeah, they should be happy to have you. Be a good thing.
I am curious what everyone thinks about something like a streaming service versus something like Origin Access, where you still pay a monthly fee, but you get to download the games and play them on your own system, versus having them streamed to you. Which would everyone prefer?
I personally like the option of either or. Ultimately, if it can be where you can choose between the two options, I would dig that. If not, I like the option to download and run locally, obviously. But we all have rigs that can do that. I mean, we're all in a position where we... Well, if you do it on a console a similar way, I mean, Chad's not... against spending money on consoles, we know. And so he has every opportunity there as well.
Yeah. I think that if you think about it this way, it really could open up the market to people that don't have that kind of, accessibility, and that could bring in a lot more revenue that the gaming industry doesn't have, because people just are playing on their phones. And if now they can, play freaking AAA titles on a Chromebook, man, that, think about how many more potential customers they might have. I don't know. It makes you really think.
Yeah. And if it's a you go buy the game for $60 for a physical copy or whatever, a local copy. We haven't bought a physical copy of a game in years, but for a local copy that you're running, or if there's a kind of a discount if you're doing it on Project Stream or something like that, knowing that you have these potential hangups. Again, I would be tempted to go pay, you know, $30 or $40 instead of $60 to do it on Project Stream if it works well. So, Josh, to get you in on the conversation, who's sitting over there patiently, any additional thoughts with living in Australia? Does that matter to you at all? Does it change your perspective?
My take on it is I think there are still technical limitations to streaming gaming as a service. I haven't opted into Project Stream mainly because it actually is US only, this trial. So, and even though I could, you know, it's easy enough to spoof your location, there's no way that I would be able to get around the latency restrictions, which is, I think, one of the big limitations. And because of that, there's a logistical challenge. So I do a lot of streaming in my own house. So I stream from my consoles. I stream from my PC. And even with hardware encoding and decoding and effectively zero latency on the network side, there are still some games. That are a bit slower, like third-person shooters and platformers. Uncharted, for example, which plays, it's a similar stylish to an Assassin's Creed. You sort of learn to, you sort of adapt for the slight latency, so eventually you don't notice it anymore. I've actually had a few times where I've gone back from streaming for a while, gone back to the native gameplay, and then I've sort of had to readjust my brain a little bit because I wasn't used to the short latency again. Then you've got games, so for example, Dirt Rally or something that's really requires really fast reactions. It doesn't matter how good your network connection is. The latency, at least for me, it was still really challenging to play. So even something like 40 milliseconds, which I believe is the limit for the Google Project Stream, the logistical challenge that poses, which is something that I'm particularly familiar with living in Australia, is just you have to have the actual hardware that's doing the streaming. It has to be in a data center that's somewhere nearby. 40 milliseconds, I mean, ballpark, we're probably thinking, you know, 40 milliseconds is, you know, next state over, maybe a couple of states if they're small. So if you're in the US in a metropolitan area, there's a chance you may have a Google data center nearby with the hardware, but if you don't have a Google data center nearby, you're going to not have a good time with this sort of technology. And that goes for any provider. I mean, that's the huge capital cost up front, is trying to get hardware nearby to the users that are willing to pay for it. Especially in Australia, I mean, we've had big problems just because, you know, lower population. It's been a challenge even to get AAA game titles to host local servers, and when they do, it's usually in a, you know, Oceania or something, so it's in, you know, Japan or Southeast Asia or something. So I think there are still logistical challenges, because it is going to have to sort of rethink how these companies manage their hardware, because we've made the comparisons to music and even Netflix, and it's one thing to just have video, and it can be served out on, you know, the same hardware as a website or any other web infrastructure. But game streaming has some pretty niche, pretty specific hardware requirements. So it is going to require a lot of investment on the from the companies offering the service. So. Yeah, at least from my perspective in Australia, I don't think we're quite it's going to be replacing native gaming anytime soon, and I'm fine with that.
That was great. That was awesome. Chad, any other thoughts you have about the whole idea of streaming games?
Well, I don't care for it. I mean, it's just not my thing. Like, I don't watch YouTube. I don't, you know, I mean, stuff like that. But my kids do all day long, and you know, and all their friends do, and they play games on like Fortnite. I don't play it. You know, I would never want to play it on my phone, let alone anything. But all the kids do, you know, and that's really the future of gaming. So as we talk as old men, you know, and you know, I had somebody walk up to me the other day. I was in line at McDonald's, and the guy walked up to me and he goes, "You can order on this kiosk." And I looked at him and I was like, "No, I want to talk to a person." But that's just it, you know. It's just a preferential thing. So a lot of the concerns and issues that I've heard raised really, to me, don't concern me about what's going to happen with the service. You know, the latency and stuff, because. Yeah, of course, Google hasn't rolled out a worldwide set of servers to beta test this. Of course, it's not going to work in Australia yet. I mean, there's the streaming service for Switch, and it's only right now in Japan. You can't do that, you know, in the United States, but you can play Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I think it's like Resident Evil or whatever, on your Switch streaming in Japan. So, I mean, that's a matter of them trying, you know, with local people on local servers for the most part, testing something out, seeing what works and what doesn't, and then rolling it out. So yep. I don't have a lot of concern with, again, the quote unquote complaints that I've heard tonight, because they really only have to do with them rolling it out to a much larger audience. And you know, and if anybody can do it, it's Google. I mean, Google isn't headquartered in one place. Google has server farms all over the world.
So. Yeah, it's fair. It's definitely a multi-layered system that has to all be working right in order for you to have a good experience. And again, if you have a good experience, that's pretty great. But there's a lot of things that have to go right that will get better in the future, but we're not there yet. So.
It's just understanding that there's certain things that are for a lot of people and they aren't for us.
Yep.
You know, I don't watch movies on my phone, but a lot of people do. A lot of people do. I have a really nice phone, but I'm on Facebook on it and I take pictures with it. That's it. Like I have the Note 9, like one of the best phones out there. And you know, I mean, I don't even know why I have it because I don't watch anything on it. I don't want to play a game on it. I don't want to play Fortnite on it. I don't want to do any of that shit on it. Like, but there are a lot of people that do, you know, and that's why it's available.
Chad is by far the oldest curmudgeon-iest person on this this round.
I will be 42 on my next birthday, you bastards. Expect a cake.
Fair enough.
Well, that's exactly how I feel about my phone as well. You know, it's just I do the most basic things on that phone. I do not care about phones. I don't care about tablets. As long as it does the little simple things I need to do, that's fine. I don't need to. Not interested
guys,
in phones.
You guys make me feel better about being me because I work with three guys at a computer shop that they all have new nice phones. And they all sit on their phones looking at Reddit all day. And I'm like, seriously, really? I mean, I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one because it's not appealing to me at all. But to somebody in their 20s, it really is.
Oh, I mean, love having a new phone. I just don't use any of the stuff. Like, I love having the new phone. I like it to look nice. I like to do whatever. But, man, like, I'll watch a couple of movie trailers, like, a year on it. Like, that's about it. But it also, a lot of this technology kind of sneaks up on you or us, you know, kind of the death of a thousand cuts kind of thing where you don't really notice it until it happens. I, you know, in my 20s, long time ago, I was a big DVD collector. I mean, I was the dude that had the wall of, you know, 1,000 DVDs. Cause that was, people came in, they're like, oh shit, you're a collector, you know? And I just had really nice setup and, I sold it all and it's all on digital because you know what? I got three, I don't have room for a wall anymore. And man, that the whole motion of going to a box and finding it, and oh, where is that one? I got to look through my 1,000 you know, DVDs or Blu-rays or whatever it is and find it. I have everything. I transferred everything over to Vudu, you know, and I've got hundreds and hundreds of movies on Vudu, and we have Vudu and Amazon Prime and, you know, and Netflix and all that stuff. And so I bought smart TVs for every room, and you know what? I could just lay on my ass and hit search and find whatever I want, and it starts up in a second. And yes, like you said, there are times when there's the internet's down, and I'll be one of the first one going, oh shit, the internet's down. What the fuck are we supposed to do? And look at my kids and go, am I supposed to talk to you? Like, what are we doing here? Like what's happening? Outside. Like, let's get in the car and drive somewhere where they have Wi-Fi and then, you know, or something like that. Like a local library. We'll just sit in the parking lot. But you know what? It doesn't. I mean, it happens. There's hiccups every now and then where the kids whine at you. The Wi-Fi is down. But man, I mean, the amount of ease of use and just the way that it makes, how much easier it makes things, you know, as far as movies and how we can access them and everything, greatly outweighs those other things where the internet's down. Same thing, like you said, with music. Like I'm not a huge music person. I listen to talk radio. Yeah, I know, old man.
Hey, we do too. That's all
I
right.
do too.
Yeah,
it's pretty much all I listen to. But you know what? My kids and my wife listen to it. So I got that Amazon Unlimited Family Music, and they can play it on any Alexa. They can play it on their phones. They can do whatever and access so many. You know, it's $15 a month, but we don't have anything, but they could download it, you know, or stream it or whatever. But really, everything's going digital, and it is that death by a thousand cuts. Like, you don't realize it's upon you until you're like, what is this physical piece of something? Like, I haven't pulled it out. I still have some Blu-rays, like some cool things, and I had to pull one out the other day and go, oh, this is a 4K disc. Like, let's throw it in. And oh, just the process of like taking it out of the box and
putting it in. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, come on, man. When I can be up and going in a second, like,
yeah. There's definitely something to that. I haven't bought a physical copy of a game, even on a console, for a long time. I sure like just being able to pull it up. And when you have fast enough internet that you can download and be running a game within, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, like, it's great.
See, I guess I'm weird. I still buy physical copies of console games.
Well, there's people that still buy vinyl records. I mean, we're not talking everybody. Exactly. I mean, it's not going to change for everybody, but we're talking about the masses. You know, we're talking about the larger percentage of gamers, and the larger percentage of gamers are going to be our children. You know, I'm one gamer in this house as an adult. My wife doesn't game, but I have three kids that have three Switches, and they game on the Switches, and they game on their, you know, on my daughter on her phone, and the other one's on tablets and stuff like that. Like, they much differently than I do. And that is, you know, I mean, that's a 3-to-1 ratio. Yes, I have the pocketbook and I'm the one, but I spend it on them, you know? I mean, so, but yeah, I mean, they're really going towards what the future is going to be, you know? And really it's putting the infrastructure in place eventually that will support it. And I mean, Google's been able to do it. And then obviously we haven't brought up the Microsoft one where you're going to be able to play all your Xbox stuff, you know, on your phone or on your, maybe your smart TV someday or something along those lines. Like, that might be cool. I won't do it.
I'll be happy about all of it when we get to the point where we got a holodeck and I can log into a holodeck with Duff and actually
with Duff
and not suck. Like that. That's what I want is to actually have the holodeck and not have to worry about all the gear.
Duff.
I mean, that's, and I say that because he's the last guy to be on VR with me and watch how awful it really is to get to the handicap guy.
I had a blast. It was so funny watching you wheelchair around. You had the actual, it showed you crouching and moving like you're in a wheelchair. It was really funny.
Yeah, it's really, it's fun to watch. And,
fantastic.
And, Now that I have another headset, we got to try that again sometime.
Yeah, I was hoping to be able to share an update with you guys, but I'm also having technical difficulties with that too, because I had gotten that wireless adapter and I got lost in the mail.
Oh no!
Wow.
That I don't want to hear about.
Jesus.
So they had to send me a new one, and it should be here next week. So we'll let you know. Maybe the one that didn't show up will, and then I'll send it to you guys.
There you
yeah.
<go. laughs>
yeah.
We could hope. We need to wrap up. I'm going to mention we had another topic we're not going to get to, but for the next roundtable, I imagine we'll be talking a lot about Red Dead. So. Be prepared to talk Red Dead. Cabbage, I want to give you just a moment because I'm just so curious to hear from you about this poll you put up in the Facebook group for Gaming Uncensored about Red Dead and Skyrim and just where you were going with that.
Yeah, so I do have to say I wasn't being like 100% serious about that.
Were you drunk?
But it was a little bit of, I wonder how people react to the statement. But there is a little bit something to it because, so yeah, you replied to it saying like, oh, I don't think so because Skyrim was about mods and this whole thing. And I guess just from how I saw how Skyrim affected people I know who play games, which a lot of the people I know who played Skyrim and that were obsessed with it, either weren't huge into games or they had never played a game like that. So yes. When they got Skyrim, it was like, holy shit. I can jump into this world. And the second you're out of that opening little town that gets taken over by the dragon and all that crap, it's just freedom. Like, and that's the thing about Elder Scrolls is that that's what people love about it is that it's like, oh, now I can just do whatever I want. So because Skyrim was the Elder Scrolls game that was the most mainstream of that kind of RPG we had up to that point, a lot of people played it and just freaked out. Like they didn't know how to react to that. And I think that Red Dead is going to have a feeling like that. I think it's going to, but it's a little bit more focused. It's about in the Old West and you're going to be from what we've seen, you're either going to be a Han Solo kind of guy, or a terrible guy. Like, you know, it's not like Skyrim where you can just kind of be whoever you want. You can be this stealthy dude, or you can be in the Dark Brotherhood, you can be a mage, that was part of the appeal of Skyrim. But I think from everything I've seen of that game, it's gonna offer people this insane freedom and feeling of becoming a character in the Old West that I think it's going to rival how people reacted to Skyrim.
That's why
I say it's going to have
the...
Here's
why. The reason why is because we haven't had that... Like, I can't name three Western games on my hand that were good.
Yeah, and that's like, part of it.
We haven't really done that environment before.
But I think that there's a... there's an innate freedom and exploration thing that's built into a Western setting. I mean, that's always been the appeal of a Western film is it's like, oh, this is the Wild West and everything's not totally clear. And it's a battle between everybody's, you know, morals and virtues and the freedom to, oh, I can just shoot these guys in the wilderness and nobody will know, you know, it's that kind of stuff. And I think that people will have with how much freedom that game seems to be giving people, we'll see what happens when it comes out in a week or whatever. But with what it seems like now, I think people are going to play that kind of how they played Skyrim. I think it's going to affect the open world game industry like a Skyrim did. So
yeah.
It was a little bit like the statement, like, oh, it's going to have a Skyrim like impact that fills everybody's heads with a bunch of stuff. And I did that on purpose because I kind of wanted to just.
Yeah.
That's a little trolly, but.
That specific point you just made, I think, is spot on. I know so many people that played Skyrim to death that don't play RPGs. You know, like that just isn't their thing.
I know somebody that played I couldn't tell you how many hours he played on the Xbox, but he is, I don't think he played a game before or after that game. He's he doesn't play video games, but Skyrim, he just got lost in it and played it for like 500 hours. Like, that's what I mean. I think it's going to have that kind of impact, which is something like the Grand Theft Auto games kind of have that, but not quite in the same way because they're still modern day and, oh, you can have fun going around and have the cops chase after you and have some mayhem, but they don't have that much feeling of just being lost in a world where you can become a different thing. I feel like this new Red Dead is going to have that. So we'll see.
I like it. I'm glad you clarified. I feel really good about it. I think that was a great argument. I love it. So,
Cabbage, are you going to be an outlaw or a hero?
If you listen to the, was it the last round table where we were talking about cyberpunk? I have to just try to be, I have to be the Han Solo kind of, I just have to. I have a friend that's like, no, dude, every time I play a game, I got to like kill people and be terrible. It's like, hey, it is a video game, so it's not like it matters, but I guess I'm just dumb and cheesy. I got to be the hero. It's got to be.
I earnestly tried in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is not a big decision game, even though it's a component to it. Like, I tried to be like the kind of arrogant jerk, and then, like, after like my first interaction, I was like, "Oh God, that guy's terrible. I don't want to be him." So since then,
I have a lot to say about that game. So hopefully next time, if we have enough time, I can talk about that. Although everybody's gonna be like, "Dude, Red Dead's out."
Yeah, I'll talk about Odyssey too. I'm digging that game. So anyway. Thank you guys for being here. Always much more stuff we could talk about. But of course, we say this every time, but we appreciate y'all's contributions to the show so much for everything each one of y'all does for us. And obviously with Patreon, go by the website, gamingUncensored.com. If you want to contribute via Patreon and participate in the roundtable, please feel free to do that. But every single one of you guys do other stuff with the show above and beyond that as well. And so just know we appreciate it. We love you guys. And thank you.
Hey, Chad, your content is coming mid November. Trip is planned. Your content is coming. We've got to buy add-ons. We haven't done that yet, but that is coming. I'm very excited.
Excited for you, man. That's awesome. And you owe me a Super Seducer review, dude.
I know.
Hey.
I've been trying to sit down and do it. I haven't got there yet. It's gonna happen.
Scared to death.
Before we go, we got to tell everybody to go over and listen to Chad's podcast, Popcorn and Games. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Thanks. I love the fact that it was Cabbage that plugged it,
because I knew nobody else would.
I'll kill all of you. I mean, actually.
Good times. All right. Appreciate
really
y'all.
Good production value, you know. I mean,
any other thoughts before we wrap up? Go
listen
to Chad. The
little girl needs her daddy. That's all I know.
So I'm going to go do that. Thank y'all for being here. This has been the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, and we are out.
Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.